While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom: algorithmic bias in tenant screening systems. Maya, you've been organizing with families denied housing. What are you seeing?
Alex, it's devastating. Last week, I met a single mother, three kids, perfect rental history for 15 years. The algorithm flagged her as high risk because she shares a name with someone who was evicted in 1998. She doesn't even know this person, but the system don't care. It just sees a name match, and boom, automatic denial.
That's exactly what I saw from the inside when I worked at one of these screening companies. The algorithms are trained on historical data that's already soaked in discrimination. We're essentially automating redlining.
Amara, I'm representing 12 families in a class action against RentScreen Pro right now. Every single one was flagged for reasons that would be illegal if a human landlord did it directly. But hide it behind an algorithm, suddenly it's just objective data.
The data shows this isn't isolated. My team analyzed 50,000 rental applications across major cities. Black and Latino applicants are 2.8 times more likely to be flagged as high risk, even controlling for income and credit history.
How is this even legal?
That's the thing. It exists in a legal gray area. The Fair Housing Act doesn't explicitly address algorithmic discrimination. These companies claim they're just providing information, and landlords make the final decision.
But we know that's bull, pauses, takes breath, sorry. We know that's not true. When that red flag pops up on the screen, landlords don't dig deeper. They just move to the next application. The algorithm becomes the decision.
I need to share something. When I was building these systems, we knew. We had meetings where we discussed the disparate impact. The response was always, we're just reflecting reality. But whose reality? The reality where Black families were systematically excluded from homeownership for generations.
The technical architecture reveals the priorities. These systems optimize for landlord profit protection, not housing access. They weight any financial hiccup, a medical debt, a late utility payment during COVID, as permanent risk factors.
Walk us through what happens to a family caught in this system.
Voice rising with emotion, they apply for apartment after apartment, pay application fee after application fee. We talking $50, $100 each time, get denied with no real explanation. Sorry, didn't pass the screening. Meanwhile, they're staying in hotels, couch surfing, kids changing schools. The stress breaks families apart.
One of my clients, Maria Gonzalez, applied to 37 apartments. 37 rejections. The algorithm flagged a dispute with a previous landlord who illegally kept her security deposit. She won in court, but the system still counts it against her.
That's the insidious part. These algorithms don't just reflect bias, they amplify it. A single data point becomes a permanent scarlet letter, and there's no appeal process, no human to explain your situation to.
Our research found that 89% of flagged applicants never get a chance to dispute or contextualize the information. The screening happens before they even meet a landlord.
This connects to what we're seeing across sectors: healthcare algorithms denying coverage, hiring systems filtering out qualified candidates.
Exactly, and it's always the same communities getting hit. My cousin, she's a nurse, 12 years experience, applied for a supervisor position at the hospital. The AI screening system rejected her resume. You know why? The algorithm couldn't recognize her HBCU. It was trained on data that privileged certain schools.
I saw this pattern everywhere in tech. Algorithms trained on successful employee data that just meant people who look like who we already hired. It's circular logic that locks in discrimination.
We're seeing similar patterns in criminal justice. Predictive policing algorithms direct more officers to historically over-policed neighborhoods, leading to more arrests, feeding back into the system as validation that these are high crime areas.
The feedback loops are critical to understand. Each biased decision generates data that trains the next version of the algorithm to be even more biased. It's discrimination that compounds itself.
How do affected communities push back against systems they can't even see?
Code switching as passion rises. Look, we organize, we share information. When Ms. Johnson gets denied at Riverside Apartments, she tells everybody at church. We map which buildings using which systems. We pool resources for lawyers. We fight because we have to fight. Ain't nobody else gonna do it for us.
The lack of transparency is deliberate. These companies claim their algorithms are proprietary trade secrets. But how can you challenge a decision you're not allowed to understand?
That's why litigation matters. Through discovery, we force them to reveal how these systems work. In the RentScreen case, we found they were using arrest records, not convictions, just arrests, as negative factors. That's illegal under fair housing law.
Even when we identify clear bias, companies often claim it's unintentional. But intent doesn't matter when the impact is this severe. These systems are making life-altering decisions about housing, healthcare, employment, freedom.
Let's dig into healthcare. What patterns are emerging there?
The insurance algorithms are particularly cruel. They analyze everything: your shopping patterns, social media, fitness tracker data, buy certain foods, higher risk score, live in certain zip codes, claim more likely to be denied.
My neighbor, Mr. Williams, diabetes patient for 20 years, never missed managing it. His insurance company's AI decided his treatment was excessive compared to their model. They cut his coverage. Model didn't account for the fact that Black patients often need more aggressive treatment because of healthcare disparities.
I'm seeing more cases where algorithms override doctor recommendations. The AI says a treatment isn't medically necessary based on population data that doesn't represent the patient's demographic.
Healthcare algorithms are often trained on data that underrepresents minorities and women. So when these populations present with symptoms, the AI literally doesn't recognize their patterns of disease.
This is life and death.
Absolutely. And the companies hide behind improving efficiency and reducing costs. But efficient for whom? Cost reduction at whose expense?
Voice breaking slightly. My aunt died last year, heart condition. The algorithm kept flagging her symptoms as anxiety because that's what the data said for Black women her age. By the time a human doctor overrode the system, it was too late.
These cases are hard to litigate because companies claim the algorithm was just a tool and humans made the final decision. But when humans are trained to trust the algorithm, when they're penalized for overriding it too often, is that really human decision-making?
The liability shield needs to be pierced. If your algorithm systematically discriminates, you should be held accountable, period.
What about employment? How are these systems affecting people's ability to work?
The hiring algorithms are a nightmare. They scan for keywords, penalize employment gaps, can't contextualize. A mother who took time off for childcare, a person who was incarcerated and is rebuilding, the algorithm sees risk.
The gig economy apps are worse. They can deactivate drivers based on algorithmic decisions, customer ratings that might be biased, acceptance rates that don't account for safety concerns. No appeal, no explanation. Just suddenly your income is gone.
We're investigating cases where delivery drivers in predominantly Black neighborhoods are penalized by algorithms for taking longer routes. Routes they take to avoid police harassment or unsafe areas the algorithm doesn't recognize.
The employment algorithms often embed illegal discrimination through proxies. They can't directly ask about age, but they can infer it from graduation dates. Can't ask about disabilities, but they analyze response times and flag anomalies.
How do we break these cycles?
Switching fully into organizer mode. First, we need transparency. These companies gotta open up their black boxes. Communities affected need to be at the table when these systems are designed. Not consulted after, at the table from jump.
From my tech experience, I can tell you, the solution isn't just better data or more diverse teams, though those help. We need fundamental restructuring of how these decisions get made. Community oversight boards with real power.
Legally, we need updated civil rights laws that explicitly address algorithmic discrimination. The current framework is decades behind the technology, and we need enforcement mechanisms with teeth.
Technically, we need mandated bias testing before deployment, regular audits, and kill switches when systems show discriminatory patterns. Right now, companies do impact assessments after harm is done, if at all.
What models of resistance are working?
In Detroit, we stopped facial recognition expansion because communities organized, packed city council meetings, educated neighbors about the technology's racist error rates. When people understand they're being targeted, they fight back.
Tech workers are organizing too. Engineers refusing to build discriminatory systems, whistleblowers exposing biased algorithms. The Tech Workers Coalition has been pushing for ethical standards with real consequences.
Strategic litigation is forcing transparency. Each case creates precedent. We're building a body of law that recognizes algorithmic discrimination as real discrimination.
Community-based auditing is powerful. Groups teaching affected populations how to test systems, document bias, collect evidence, turning surveillance back on the surveillers.
What about international examples?
Brazil's been interesting. They passed laws requiring human review of any algorithmic decision affecting fundamental rights. It ain't perfect, but it's a start.
The EU's AI Act includes provisions for high-risk systems like those affecting housing and employment. Companies have to prove their systems won't discriminate before deployment.
Some cities are passing their own ordinances. New York requires bias audits for hiring algorithms. It's patchwork, but momentum is building.
Indigenous data sovereignty movements offer another model: communities controlling how their data is collected and used, rejecting extraction, asserting autonomy.
How do we scale this resistance?
Connect the struggles. The family denied housing, the worker fired by an app, the patient denied care, we're all fighting the same beast. When we link up, share strategies, pool resources, we become unstoppable.
We need to demystify the technology. These systems seem complex, but the discrimination is simple. Strip away the tech jargon. Show people the man behind the curtain.
Coalition building is essential. Civil rights groups, labor unions, tenant organizations, our fights are interconnected. Algorithmic discrimination is a common enemy.
And we must center those most impacted. Not advocates speaking for communities, but communities speaking for themselves. The expertise of lived experience trumps technical credentials.
What's your vision for justice?
With deep conviction, I envision algorithms that expand access instead of restricting it. Systems that recognize resilience, not just risk. Technology that serves communities, not surveils them. But honestly, I'd settle for humans making human decisions about human lives.
My vision includes mandatory community impact assessments, ongoing accountability, and real consequences for discriminatory systems. No more hiding behind unintended consequences.
I see a legal framework that treats algorithmic discrimination as seriously as any other form of bias, where victims have recourse and companies face real liability.
I envision open-source, community-controlled alternatives where affected populations govern the systems that govern them. Technology as a tool for liberation, not oppression.
Final thoughts on where we go from here.
Fire in her voice. We organize, we educate, we agitate. Every person listening needs to ask, what algorithms are making decisions about my life, demand answers, refuse to accept that's just how the system works. The system works how we let it work.
Document everything. If an algorithm denies you housing, healthcare, a job, save every communication. We build our cases one story at a time.
Know your rights. Many algorithmic decisions violate existing law. We just need to connect the dots. Legal aid organizations are building expertise in this area. Reach out.
And support the research that exposes these systems. Community-based participatory research, where affected populations drive the questions and own the findings. Knowledge production as resistance.
This investigation reveals that algorithmic bias isn't a glitch. It's a feature of systems designed without justice in mind. But across sectors, communities are refusing to be sorted, scored, and discarded by machines trained on histories of exclusion.
With determination, and we ain't stopping. Every family denied housing, every patient denied care, every worker denied opportunity. We see you, we stand with you, and we're building a movement that demands justice across every algorithm that shapes our lives. The future we're fighting for has room for everybody.